life, no matter what happens, we will experience joy. We will experience peace that comes from Him. And God will look after those who follow Him, who obey Him, who are faithful to Him. And so today, I want to begin by sharing with you, in school, school was not very good for me. In today's terms, I was bullied. Middle school was tough. Getting into high school freshman year was tough, but it was my sophomore year where it got really bad. And we'll just say this guy's name is Michael. And Michael, from September on, would not leave me alone. I don't know what I ever did to the kid, but he would always come to me and always he would want to fight. I have no idea. And I wasn't one who would do that. And so the fall came through, and in wrestling and football, he would not leave me alone. The winter came, hockey came, and he still wouldn't leave me alone. And we got to the spring time, and he would just kept nagging and picking and bullying. And so finally, I said to him, I'll see you at the polls. Now, what that means is that where our high school was, is when you walk from behind the high school down the path, down the stadium, there was these yellow poles that separated the back of the high school from the back of the elementary school. And that was our big thing. I'll see you at the polls. Well, it has a different meaning for me now, because see you at the poll is where students pray for their schools. But at that time, it was in the spring, I'll never forget, and he came up to me in school with a couple of his buddies, and I said, well, I'll just see you at the polls. And everybody's like, ooh. And that was a big mistake, because I didn't want to do this. And so school got done. And I remember walking home, and as I was walking home, there were some seniors that began to walk with me, and they said, you know, we'll take this guy out for you if you want. And I was like, no, we're okay. And so they're like, are you going to fight him at the polls? And I just kept walking. I'm like, I'm not fighting him at the polls. Well, Michael caught up to me, and I was about halfway home, and it went down. And what had happened was I'll say I blacked out for a few moments, but all I remember is I had him down, face down on the ground, and had his arm turned behind his back, and I said, I'm going to break your arm, and you will leave me alone from this point on. And nobody said anything. It was like, and I let him go, and I said, you're going to leave me alone from this point on. And he did. He left me alone from that point on. Now, that gave me a little courage. I don't promote violence, but what I'm saying is that this was something that kept going on and on and on. And I really, honestly, I got to the point where I was like, I'm tired of being bullied. I'm tired of people picking on me. And it started, you know, in the middle school years. And like I said, when we got into our sophomore year, I said, I'm done. This is over. Nobody's going to do this again. And so why I share that with you is that when we look at this story of a teenage boy named David, David was one that many of you are probably familiar with his story of how he fought Goliath. And he was one who said, I will go and do what needs to be done. But what we want to look at today in this message called Pick Up the Stone, we want to take a look at how this all transpired for David and those that were surrounding him. Because in this battle that was happening between the Philistines and the Israelites, we see that this was something that was happened in that day and time. And we see that in our day and time. There's wars that go on and battles that go on. But yet, when we talk about pick up the stone, what I want for us to see here, if you're following along in your outline today, is this, is that we can either go alone or partner with God. We can either go alone or partner with God. Isaiah 26:4 says that, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the eternal rock. And so we're seeing here in this passage that we can put our hope and trust in the person of Jesus Christ and God the Father Almighty. This next picture here is the Valley of Elah. And this is where the battle took place between the Philistines and the Israelites. Now, mind you that the Philistines had the best of the best, and his name was Goliath. It's believed that he weighed over 500 pounds. He was over 9 feet tall, and the armor that he wore was around 200 pounds. So this was a pretty stout guy. And so the Philistines were like, this is our man. We will get him to call out the best of their best. And when he calls out the best of their best, and the best of their best come out, and they're going to get at it, and whoever wins, we are going to be subservient to you. And so that's where we are here in this valley of Elah. And I want to take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is where the story is found. We're going to look at just a few verses here. And I want to encourage us to take time to read 1 Samuel 17 this week and read the whole story. We're going to look at different verses throughout chapter 17. We're going to take a look at what happens here. And then we want to talk about having an audacious faith. And so here in 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 8, it says this: Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul, who is the king of Israel, and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So a whole army was afraid of one man. Now, mind you, this man was pretty big. But he's calling out someone to represent the armies of Israel. And so as this story goes on, David is introduced in our story in verse 12. David was the youngest of eight brothers. His three oldest brothers were there at the battle in the valley of Elah. Now, David was a shepherd. But yet, David would go back and forth to see how the battle was going. Could you imagine that today? "Hey, Mom, I'm going down to the battle. I'll see you later. Well, see if everybody's okay, you know?" And so that's what it was. So David would go back and forth to see how things were going. And so, thank goodness for TV. And so, so here's what happens. For 40 days, Goliath comes out day after day, and he's taunting the Israelite army. And yet no one would go and step up to fight him. They were terrified. It says that Saul and the army was terrified. Now at this time in our story, Jesse, who is David's father, he says, "I want you to go and take some things down to the battle." So, it's like, "What are you doing today, son?" "Oh, nothing, Dad." "Well, why don't you go ahead and take down, be very careful, have fun storming the castle." But really what Jesse was wondering, he's like, "I want you to go find out what's going on. Is everybody still alive? Is there still this giant who wants to take out Israel?" And so when David gets there, he notices that the army is scared. Not only that, the army, he begins hearing men in the army start to say, "Listen, the king will give a huge reward for anyone who takes this guy out." And so as a teenager, in verse 26, David asked this. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So David here goes and he begins to be curious and he begins to ask questions. And maybe even for a moment, David's thinking, "I could take this guy. If nobody else is going to do it, I will do it." So that was either incredible or incredible stupidity on his part, right? But here's what David knew. David knew who God was. David knew what God had done in the past for his people. And so there was something within David that was saying, "This can be done again. There can be victory for the kingdom of God." And so as David's asking these questions, you know, his brothers begin to get angry. And his oldest brother, Eliab, begins to say, "You need to go home to Dad and go tend to sheep. We're taking care of man business," right? And so it's interesting because Eliab, his name in Hebrew means God our Father. That was pretty wild to have someone's name meaning God our Father, and yet he was very scared to stand with the God of Israel to defeat a Philistine. And so he gets angry with David, and saying, "You know what, go home." And yet we do that too sometimes. We see that people will begin to stand or begin to grow in their faith or begin to do things for God when God calls them to. And sometimes we look and go, "Well, why are you doing that? or we begin to doubt others, or we become jealous. And sometimes what happens is that we fear what we don't know. Because that's what God tells us. He says, I want you to walk in faith. There is an unknown, but do you trust me in what I am doing? And so with that, when David asked, what we see here is for you and I is to have a heart for God, is to have a heart for God. We know that David had a heart for God because it goes back in chapter 16, verse 7, where the prophet Samuel goes to see Jesse. And in verse 7, it says this, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. And he's talking about his other brothers. And then he goes on to say, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God had a specific plan in mind for David. And we know the story of David. He goes on to be the king of Israel. But here, God is setting the stage for him. He's saying, David has a heart for me. And we know the story of David. We know he was one who sinned against God, but yet we know he is one that says, God, I need you. I messed up big time, but I want to live for you. I need you in my life. You are my hope. You are my salvation. And yet we see here that David had a heart for God's reputation. And that's for you and I. Our faith rests on God's words to us. And each and every day that we live this out, we say, God, is your reputation is on the line, and I need to know where in my life that my heart is not in it. Because the world that we live in, once we leave these doors, the world that we live in says, whatever it is and whatever you believe, that is good for you. And listen, if you love the Jesus thing, that's great. But if you love this, that's great. And the world is telling us that it's okay to live this way, or it's okay to choose these things. And yet it conflicts with what we believe and what we know to be true. And yet what we can't do is and I've learned this in my life as well, is we can't marry the world and we can't marry Jesus. It will always opposite. It's like the magnet. When you put it opposites, it will repel from one another. And yet David here is one that's saying, listen, God's reputation is on the line. And in any area of my life, I want to make sure that I represent him well and do it with integrity. And so what happens is, as the story moves on, is that some soldiers in the army begin to hear what David is saying. And they're like, you need to go to the king, because none of us guys want to do what you're saying that you can do or what you're asking about. And as we move on here in chapter 17, in verse 32, David is having a conversation with King Saul, and he says, let no one lose heart. Verse 32 says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. David could have went home. He could have took care of sheep. He could have done his thing. But yet he said, I will be your servant, King Saul, and I will take care of what no one else will do. And yet the king is looking at this kid and thinking, yeah, I'm not too sure about this. He wasn't too sure about David's fighting capabilities. But yet here's David saying, I am bold enough to tell you, king, I will go and do this. Because here's the thing. I want to tell you my resume here, king. I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion with God's help. I'm pretty good with the slingshot, right? Because being a shepherd, you would have needed to have some type of defense mechanism. So a staff and a slingshot. Now, with God's help, you notice here, he didn't say, I did this all on my own. He's saying, God has my back. And my resume says this. So if I can do this, I'm pretty sure I can take out the 9'9" guy. And I will do it for Israel. But see, here's the thing. What David understood, he was doing this for God. The army's thinking, he's making fun of our army. And David's saying, you're making fun of my God. And I'm going to take a stand. And I'm going to pick up the stone. And I'm going to partner with God. And we're going to do this together. See, what David knew was David knew God's power. God's power is great. It wasn't just great then, it's great today. In and through our lives, through his Holy Spirit. And yet what David was saying was, he's saying, listen, Goliath is just another challenge. But I know with God's help, we can do this. And there will be victory. And so Saul gives in. And he says, all right, David, well, here's the thing. You can use my armor. If you are crazy enough to do this, you can use what I have. And he begins to put it on him. And David's going, this isn't working. This isn't fitting. This is not going to happen. So he's like, thanks, King. I know that you're giving me all this stuff, but I got a slingshot. I got a staff. I'm going to go. And in our own lives, sometimes, you know, we sometimes have people in our lives saying, you need to do this, or you need to do that, and you need to do. And there's some times where that advice is great, and yet there's other times where we have to say, God, what do you want me to do? And we have to step out in faith and do what he's called us to do. You see, when with David, he was confident enough to go with just those things. Thanks, but no thanks. And yet through that, he saw that he could go out and confront the mighty Goliath, but he knew that he had an almighty God behind him. And that's his faith in what God was doing. I want to show this next picture to talk about this idea of God is on our side. God is on our side. When David said, you don't have to lose, God is on your side. See you at the poll, again, as I shared at the beginning, is an event where Christian students go to their school's flagpole and pray for their schools. They do it the third Wednesday of every September of every year. And so this is a picture of some of the students here at Hope who are praying for their school. And I heard one student say, man, I was the only one at my flagpole. I'm like, yes, you're beginning something. You took the stand to say, I want to see great things God do through me and in this school. Because they began to understand that God is on their side. Were they nervous? Probably. You know, wondering, you know, what are people thinking while I'm standing here around a flagpole? They may have got the questions asked of them, but yet that's their opportunity to say, because God is on my side, I want this school to know who Jesus is in a real way. And so God is on our side. I think sometimes, I'll say for me, that as I get older, you know, we into the mundane, right? And we get into the everyday stuff, and we kind of, we lose that fire, if you want to call it. In Christianese speak, we say, man, they're just on fire. You know, when you first became a believer, how excited you were and what God did, and you just wanted to let everybody know. And yet as time went on and life happened, we begin to get away in a way. And I look at David, I'm going, Lord, where am I getting away and getting away? Where am I not believing that you're on my side? Where have I lost heart for the things of you? And so for David, he reminds us that God is on our side. Psalm 46:10, I remember Pete sharing this on the Mission Sunday. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be praised in all the nations. I will be praised throughout the earth. The idea of surrendering to God, and that will give us the peace that goes beyond anything that we can comprehend or understand. He says, just keep surrendering to me. And when we begin to surrender more and more to the things of God, the freer we become. It sounds silly, but yet I'm seeing that in my own life. I'm seeing that in my own life. And when we believe that God is for us, what we can do, we can say, I know, God, what you've done in my life, and I know that you will do it again. And I will act in obedience to that. And I want to encourage you, students, that you continue to be an example for us old people. That you continue to have that desire to know God. And that you step out in faith, and that we can see that example, and that that would inspire us to be a part of change and hope through the person of Jesus in this world. So our story goes on. And as we know, there's a part in where David goes to a stream that's at the Valley of Elah, and it says he picks up five smooth stones. It's believed that Goliath had four other brothers, so David picks up five because he's like, I'm going to take out the whole family. If I'm going to do one, we're going to do them all. And he puts them in his bag, and he goes to face Goliath. And so in verse 45, things get real. And so they're standing face to face to one another, and David shouts, I come against you. And in verse 45, here's the full verse. It says, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. I come against you who? In the name of the Lord. He said, I'm not coming with no spear or javelin, and I'm not no dog you talk to. You have defied the God of Israel. and I'm taking you down. It's about to go down right now. And he goes on to say, you have come against the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. And so this giant situation, this giant struggle, this giant of a human being stands face to face with David, and he's saying, it's time that you are taken out. It is time. And not only that, this was a defining moment for David, but yet this was also the clearest expressions of David's faith in what God could do and who he was. This is where he is here in this moment, because once again, he knew that God's reputation was on the line, and David wasn't doing this for David. Again, he could have been watching sheep, doing something else, but yet he was doing it for the greatness of God. That's who he was doing it for. And when I think about a shepherd who did something for the greatness of God, the great shepherd who is Jesus Christ, he didn't pick up stones, he picked up a cross. And when he picked up that cross in that day and time, that was for criminals, that was for people who were revolutionaries, people who would cause coups. And yet Jesus took a cross and he went to Calvary and he died for the sin of the world. He didn't do it for himself. He even asked his father, can somebody else do this? But if this is for your great name, if this is to bring people back to you, I will do it. And he gave up his life so that we may have life, that we may proclaim the name of Jesus in our workplaces, in our schools, in our home settings, in our neighborhoods, wherever that may be. And sometimes it may be just in what you do that people begin to see that there is something different. Because if you notice that the good news of Jesus isn't going to change. God's good news is there for salvation, but God's news is there for the broken marriages. God's good news is there for our broken lives. God's good news is there for when we feel so far away. God's good news is there to restore our past and to give us a bright future. And that's what he, the great shepherd, has done for us. The enemy has been defeated. Jesus has taken care of death. It's done. He has conquered the grave. And I remember a couple years after that time with Malcolm, I saw him in a department store. I remember walking up to him, and I said, what? What you gonna do now? I was a little confident then. Again, don't promote violence, but what I'm saying is that I went to him and I was like, what? What? He didn't say a word, and he just walked away. And I never saw him again. But here's what I'll say. When we see the things in our lives that are struggles, when we see the things in our lives that we think there is no end in sight, that we will never be able to overcome, we know that what Christ has done, because of him overcoming sin and death and the grave, that we can stand before the enemy and we can tell him no longer, what? What do you have over me anymore? What? I'm going to live by faith now. I'm going to choose to live a life that's following you. What? What do you have to say now? He has nothing. Will there be battles that we have to fight? That's it. Yes, yes. If we think that we're going to go trouble-free in this world, then let's have a chat afterwards. The war has been won. The enemy has been defeated. And some of us need to hear that today. We may be fighting battles that are beyond us. We may be fighting things and we're struggling with things that we're saying we cannot make it through. And yet God's saying it's already been done. I just want you to go with me. I want you to take that stand, pick up the stone, and we'll do this together. Partner with me. You see, with David, the beauty is by his faith, it wasn't just a faith issue, it was an action issue too. Because once he pulled the stone out and he whipped that sling and he took Goliath down, it says in Scripture that the stone sunk into his head. He fell face down. David went right after him, pulled out Goliath's own sword, picked up his head and went, whoop. Cut it off. Now, in that time, in that day and time, that was a sign of it's over. We have defeated you. And so that's what happens here in our story. David stepped out in faith, and he left the results to God. For you and I, what we can know is that we can let our faith become real. We can let our faith become real. Something beyond just talking about it, but really living out those things that God has shown us in his word. But I love this passage I want to share with us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, and therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" He's saying it's not what you can do. It's what I've already done. That's what Jesus tells us, and it's my grace that will show you the steps that you need to take. Leave the results up to me. Don't try to play Jesus. Don't try to play God. As Pastor John Ortberg says, there is a God and it's not us. Leave it up to him. But when you and I partner with God, we can see in David's story, and I believe it's true in our own lives, that David's victory came as a result of faith. Goliath was showing us pride and arrogance. So do you want to choose, as we learned last week, do we want to choose to live a life of humility or a life of self? Do we want to be those people that influence like Jesus influenced, to be that sweet fragrance to those around us? You see, David, again, ultimately becomes king of the nation of Israel. For you and I, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, our reward is eternal. And our reward is Jesus. But we have to partner with God. Because what I noticed about David, there were several steps that had to happen in order for that moment to happen. He was curious. He went to the king, he volunteered himself, he picked up stones, and then, and only then. But there were things that God did to prepare him. He killed a lion, he killed a bear, he had a heart for God. There were things that led up to that moment. And that's going to happen for us too. There's going to be things that lead up to things that we go, okay, now I know why that happened. Now I know why I learned that for such a time as this. So for us, when we partner with God, let's know that this is a life of faith, and it's a life of action when God calls us to do the things that he wants for us to do. So two things I want to share with us about having an audacious faith. If you choose to partner with God, if you choose to pick up the stone, then let's talk about having an audacious faith. The first that we see here is that we want to step into the struggle with confidence. We want to step into the struggle with confidence. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 say, "So do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. And you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." See, when we step into the struggle with confidence, God gives us what we need, exactly what we need to move with him. So I want to encourage us to take steps of faith. Just take a step of faith with God. And that may be the step of faith for you today, maybe saying, you know what, I give my life to you, Lord. I've tried to do this, and it doesn't work. And I'm at the end of myself, and I need you. And for some of us, it just may be, what's that struggle? What's that thing I'm facing? What's that giant in my life? God, what is it? What's the next step? Take that step with him. Remember, victory is not always instant. But it's in the journey that he wants to teach you about yourself and about his great purposes for your life. The second is this: we want to stay faithful in the small things. We want to stay faithful in the small things. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So when we stay faithful in the small things, let me encourage us to believe that God already knows the outcome. He already knows it. And what we can do is, as we take those steps of faith, we can celebrate God's work in our lives. Even in the midst of the struggle, we can say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing." Even in the midst of the hurt and the pain, "God, thank you that you're putting me through this. I'm going to look to you. I know you know what's coming." Doesn't mean it's always going to change when we want it, but it's for his name and his renown and for our good. I want to show a brief video. as we end this morning. It's Kathy Lee Gifford, and she's on the Today Show, and she's talking about Frank Gifford, who passed away. I want you to hear about Frank's story in when he visited the Valley of Elah. And when that's done, I'm going to ask that Walter, he's going to put on some music just as a time of response. And I don't know what your Valley of Elah is today, but you may just need to say today, I'm going to partner with God on whatever that is. And we have these stones here, and it's not to make anybody feel weird, but I want to encourage you to come today and just take a stone, not because Jeff says it, but to say, I'm going to partner with God in what this thing in my life is, what this giant is, what this struggle is. And I want to be able to go with him. And then finally, you may be sitting here thinking, you know what, that may be weird. What will people think if I stand up? And I want to encourage us, and I thought about this as I was praying about today, and I thought, wow, how weird would it have been if Jesus said, man, what would people think if I died for their sin? What would be so weird if I offered eternal life? And so once this video is done, the music's going to play, and that will be your time to respond, and then we'll close in prayer. Walter? So God, we take a stone. May it be just a tangible way of saying, I'm going to partner with you. Jesus, we know that your Spirit moves today. And we know, God, that you have spoken to us. Maybe all of us, maybe some of us. But in those areas, Father, where we feel afraid and we fear when the struggles, when the giants come and face us, Lord, will we just hold on to you? Father, will we take the risk with you? Father, may we say, as this woman is singing, you make us brave. Maybe even take the risk today as we go down to the high school. Father, you are so good to us. We do not deserve what you have given us. Father, may we hold true to you and to your word. May we take the small steps of faith we need to and have the confidence in the struggle, and we will praise you in the middle of it all. Father, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, that you were brave. And in spite of us, you took on our sin and our shame to bring us to salvation and to make us whole. Father, in the areas of our lives that are broken, Father, may we not be afraid to allow you to work. Father, may we be people who choose to say, my past will not dictate my future. I will walk with you. Father, you are our champion. And Jesus, we give this all to you, believing that you're going to do good and beautiful and great things in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.